Welcome to Wear It Down, the Queer Killing Eve podcast. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Natalia. We're two queer women who are obsessed with Killing Eve.
Each episode, we go scene by scene and discuss Villain Eve, the best kills, and the queerest moments.
Fair warning, even though today we're only focusing on one episode, there might be spoilers ahead for seasons 1, 2, and 3.
All right, welcome to the show. On today's episode of Wear It Down, the Queer Killing Eve podcast, we're going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 6, Take Me to the Hole.
This episode was written by George Kay and directed by Damon Thomas. It originally aired on May 14th, 2018.
Mm.
Whoa. Wow. Do you want to hear the wiki synopsis?
Sure.
Alright, so, a female assassin is taken into custody in Russia, and Eve and Carolyn head out to Moscow to negotiate access. She could hold the key to the organization that runs Villanelle. Meanwhile, Villanelle is smuggled into the same Russian jail. How would you describe this episode in 3 words?
Oh god. More plot happens.
Yeah, this is a very plot-heavy episode. It's kind of slow. Definitely not one of my favorites. It's very straight, I feel like.
So straight. Oh god, y'all. We struggled.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's really funny because it's very straight because of Carolyn. But it's funny because she's the one character that's played by an like openly gay actress, right?
Yeah, like she's actually queer, which I think is really interesting. I'm sure she did fine playing these parts, but I think as like a queer woman myself, I struggle to watch these scenes. But I'm out here like wanting to support a queer woman on the screen.
Yeah, I think, I mean, not that it's bad, right, that she's having these straight relationships, but that's not what I'm here for.
Yeah, I'm here for gay content. I'm also here for like the chase, and I feel like this chase has really strange tension.
Yeah, I think this entire episode, Eve is kind of in the background or like up to the side.
Yeah, and I don't like that. I love when Eve is like chaotically in the front, like going nuts. And I feel like there's moments where she's like, chaotic Eve is here, but then she gets pushed down by Carolyn, which I'm not a big fan of. But
yeah, like Carolyn kind of takes the lead, right, during this part of the investigation.
Yeah.
And then we have Villanelle in a very different position as well, where she's not really at the top either.
Yeah, but I really enjoy Prison Villanelle because I think she's hilarious.
I love Prison Villanelle.
This is, like, the most feral version of Villanelle we get, and it is so funny.
I agree.
Like, she's out here, like, spitting blood. Like, I love her.
I will say I feel borderline queer-baited, though, this episode.
Borderline. Yes, definitely.
Because this episode keeps building up, like, they're gonna meet, like, they're gonna cross paths.
And then it just doesn't happen. It's true. George Kay wrote episode 4, which I had the same feeling of like, oh, they're going to see each other. And they see each other at the very end of episode 4, right? But I feel like that had a really strange energy to it as well. Listen, just let Vicky Jones and just let Phoebe Waller-Bridge write it. I'm cool with that, you know? Okay, let's just go ahead and get into this episode.
Okay, so we start out in Russia, which is the first time that we're ever in Russia.
True, and we know that Villanelle's not excited to be here. And she looks it when she's in the car, and she's, like, pouting and, like, flicking the door handle on the car thingy, right?
I think it's the glove compartment handle.
I was just gonna say thingy, because I don't know the words for thing.
When you're gay and useless.
And she's in this really cute pink coat, which I enjoy.
I like to think that she dressed up for prison. Like, she knows damn well she's gonna have to change, but
yeah, I think she wants to walk in and be like, I'm a dignified woman. But then it makes it more impactful when they strip her of her identity, you know? Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, she looks very nervous, very small.
Yes, definitely.
While Constantine is talking to her, right, about, like, her cover story, essentially, and who her persona is going to be.
Oh, and her name!
Her name!
It's your name! It's my Natalia!
It's Natalia.
It's a good name.
It's a good name. I agree. So Natalia Popova is in prison for stealing some hats.
And I really like the way she says it, too. She's like, wow, I'm dangerous.
I like that so much.
It's so funny.
It's so cute.
Her accent isn't well. I will not try to imitate any of the accents, one, because I think that's inappropriate, and two, because I know I would not be good at it in that regard, and I don't think we should try to do things that are inappropriate and bad. So
that's valid. And as she says this, she's still fiddling with the glove compartment thing. And he's like, don't fiddle with that. Very much like dad vibes.
And she doesn't stop. Like, even after he asks, she's still like out here like fiddling with the thing. Because she's so nervous and anxious.
Yeah, exactly. And she's a little kid.
Yeah. And then Constantine explains like important mission. Mm-hmm. You need to go to the doctor as soon as possible. All these things. And then he looks at her and he's like, say it back to me. Because he doesn't believe she's listening.
And then she says, why did you never try to have sex with me?
Which I think is so strange, right? Because he's treating her like she's a child. Mm-hmm. But she's bringing up sex, which is a very adult thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think she's so perplexed because she's like, how has our relationship never gotten to this point? But what is her relationship with a paternal figure, right? Mm-hmm.
That it's really interesting that that's the question that she asks right now. I think it's two things. I think one, just avoidance, right? She's trying to get out of this conversation because she's nervous. Doesn't want to do this. And also, I do think that it's something that she's wondered because men always sexualize and objectify her.
Yeah, and it's a manipulation tactic for her.
Yeah, and she's like, why don't you do that? And girl, it's because he's your whole ass dad. Like,
yes, he is.
He's out here like, don't fiddle with that.
And he's like, this is very important for you. He's like, I'm worried about you. Like, you can feel the worry. Once again, it's hard to tell how genuine it is. Mm-hmm. But I think because we've gotten that consistently from him, sometimes it's really, I feel like I even slip into moments where I'm like, I do think he genuinely worries about her at times, like a dad. Because she is very childish. Mm-hmm. And I think he is endeared by her at times, even annoyed. But I feel like that's still like a dad thing to do, to be a little annoyed by your kid.
Yeah. 100%.
And then once again, he says, like, stop doing that, and which is fiddling with the glove compartment handle. And that's when she pops it open and sees the gun. And she says, is that for me? Mm-hmm. And I read this in two ways, right? Like, is that for me to use because I'm a whole assassin and, like, you're my handler? And two, is that for me as in, like, are you going to use that on me? Are you using it to protect yourself with? Mm-hmm. I think that's how I read it.
That was very interesting. I felt, like, really confused when the gun didn't show up again. I know it shows up in, like, a later episode, but I think this whole episode for me in some areas felt kind of incomplete. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I was waiting for something and that never happened. And I think one of those things was this gun where I was like, when is it going to come up again? Mm-hmm. You know, and then it didn't.
Yeah, not strange. In this episode anyways, which is weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the small things. This episode, once again, is a transition episode, getting ready for the next one.
I agree.
And eventually the finale. It's the build-up to it, you know?
Very plot-heavy, just kind of keeping it moving for the big stuff that's to come.
Yeah. Planting some seeds. And I'm not enjoying it as much as I usually do.
Same. And then Constantine says, I know you're nervous. And she's like, I'm not nervous. Again, like a little kid.
But then she's like, and you will come collect me afterwards, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she is nervous.
She is nervous. She's like, what if someone recognizes me? You know, like, she's kind of telling her concerns.
And then he places his hand on her cheek really tenderly. And he's like, I swear in my heart. And he's like holding her and very like sweet. And once again, does not feel sexual at all. It very much so feels tender. And it's interesting because his sleeve slowly goes down as he's cupping her cheek with his right hand. And we see the bracelet that we supposedly think his daughter made for him. And it's interesting because, you know, he's being a whole dad as he's like cradling his like faux daughter, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's very poignant that he's still wearing it and he's still being a father to her. I think it's very sweet.
I didn't even catch that. That's fascinating. And then she licks the hand.
Yeah, it's such a head ass, but it's really funny. And I really like it because it emphasizes once again that she's just like a whole little kid.
She is.
She's so annoying. I love her.
All of this, like, this entire scene has a lot of, like, first day of school vibes to it.
Yeah, like, first day of prison. Like,
except it's not the first day of
prison. It's not. It's, like, first day at a new prison. But it's also not a new prison. It's just, like, we're re-enrolling you. It's
first day back, right?
Yeah.
And I think that actually makes it worse because she has been there before and she probably has a lot of trauma.
Yeah, definitely. The fact that she's scared, like, we're seeing Villanelle, who's so good at being in control, right, be visibly scared in these moments is really shocking. Like, we can already see the layers starting to peel back. Like, she got some trauma to unpack here.
And so Constantine gets out of the car, and Villanelle kind of stays there for a moment and just kind of pouts and, like, shrinks down.
Yeah, she, like, shrinks down into the seat, right? Mm-hmm. She looks so sad. I'm just, like, out here, like, poor baby. And then she gets out and she's, like, walking really close to him, right? Like, a little kid who's, like, afraid to meet their teacher on the first day.
Yeah, it's very cute. It's very kid-like and childish. And she seems so small and vulnerable, which is something we don't get a lot, you know, when we see her.
Also, we don't ever see them out and about together really very often, so it's interesting to see him actually being her handler and mm-hmm. handing her off.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, instead of getting, like, on a school bus or whatever, she gets onto this, like, prison convoy yeah. bus truck thing. Yes. I don't know what it's called.
We don't know words. We're just here to try our best.
Useless gaze once again.
All right. And then she waves goodbye.
This is the saddest wave.
The way she does is, like, real defeated and small. Like, I guess I'm doing this. And he waves back at her.
I like that he waves back. Like, he kind of humors her.
But I think he's also kind of worried about
yeah.
her. I feel like those small actions, those mm-hmm. wordless moments, feel like they pack so much in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel it.
I agree. And then it zooms out and you see that the president is right there, right? Which I think is very bold that they did this, like, transaction or whatever so close to the prison itself. I thought they were, like, in the middle of nowhere and then they were going to lead her to the prison.
But no, she's right there. So silly. Like, they got a whole, like, truck to get her. Like,
I think the writers were like, we got to make it clear
that she's going. Prison.
Yeah. But I think we should talk about the song that plays as well. Ooh,
yes, it's Tell Mama by Unloved.
Mm-hmm. And then the lyrics are, Mom, I did something bad. Mom, I looked back. Mom, I made a mistake. I'm not myself.
Mm-hmm. It's like, Mayday, Mayday, I can hear the words you say. I hear them every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is really sad. Ashley's being taken away in a police transport vehicle, whatever it may be called, truck, car, thing, bus. And it's so sad, and I feel really afraid for her, because I'm like, who is her mama, and, like, can she take care of her? We know later. But it is very sad. And then we fade into title.
Yeah, it's very interesting, right, that you say that, like, at this point, we don't know who her mom is, but this song is very much so calling out to a mom, right? Because she is, like, a kid who's scared, who wants her mom, who wants her parent. And in this case, it's Constantine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who
he's mama.
He's Mama K.
Mama K. No. We're not going that route again. All right. And then we fade into the title card, right? Music's still playing. And it's a light green background with a dull olive green color in the lettering. And then the K is dripping this time. I think we're once again back to the dullness. And I think that's about how it's a pretty dull episode all in all.
And then we're in prison when we see, for the first time ever, Prison Villanelle. Rise baby, rise.
Oh my god. And then it's so, I really enjoy Prison Villanelle. I think she's a mess. She's so feral. I've already said this before, but I'm going to keep saying it because I love it. And then, you know, she's getting dressed in her, like, prison uniform.
I really like the uniform.
Oh, honey.
I mean, in and of itself is ugly, right? It's a prison uniform.
Mm-hmm.
But she wears it well, and it's something we've never seen her in something like this, and I like it.
See, here's the thing. The whole bandana, not a fan. Okay, not a fan. I think if she didn't have that, I'd be fine.
I like the bandana.
Okay. I just don't. I just don't think it's good.
I think it ties the whole outfit together for me.
I guess it ties a whole prison uniform together. I don't know. Like,
I think what I like, it has a lot of, like, butch energy.
That's fair. I'm just personally not a fan of it, like, specifically for her. Butch energy is fine. It's great.
Yeah.
But in this moment, I'm not feeling it for Villanelle.
Well, I'm feeling it.
Okay.
All over me.
And oh, enjoy it, baby. Enjoy
Thank you.
It.
Thank you. Okay.
And then she gets examined in the butt, right?
Yes.
I don't know a pretty way to say it.
There's no pretty way to say it. It's actually very uncomfortable.
She looks so annoyed.
She looks very uncomfortable and very angry, right?
Yeah, and it's like thinking back to when she looked back, right? At her, like, little pink coat getting stuffed in. And now she's, like, bent over, butt in the air, like, getting poked, right? She looks so upset.
It's so bad. Like, as much as I do love this outfit and Prison Villanelle, it's really sad to see her be stripped away of, like, you know, the power that she always has and, like, just her identity as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, like, we see her pink fluffy, like, coat being stuffed into, like, a brown bag, right?
Yeah, the abyss.
It's literally, like, her, right, being stuffed into this, like, brown bag of a prison.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate it.
But, yeah, so she is bent over. They're trying to, like, search her or whatever. And then I think in an attempt to regain some sense of control, she becomes a little asshole, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she turns around and she's, like, enjoying this, like, to the guard.
Yeah, I think in her saying that, I think she often uses humor to deflect mm-hmm. any emotion she's feeling. We see that a lot with Constantine, too. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she says this, right, then she gets slapped by one of the guards. Real aggressive. Mm-hmm. And her body, like, moves real hard. And you can tell there was some impact.
Mm-hmm. And then you would think that kind of would shut her up. Calm her down. But then she, like, turns around and just, like, returns that slap.
Real hard.
And then she's like, oh, dear.
And they start beating her. And I'm like, poor baby. This is a horrible first day of school. I mean, prison. And then I feel like this, her getting literally beat down, makes me realize how far she has truly fallen at this point.
Yeah, I agree. The shit beat out of her. I agree. And it's really sad because she looks so angry. And you know for a fact that she could kill them.
True. She could.
She could turn around and kill them both.
It's very true.
But she doesn't because she's not going to ruin this mission, right?
No. She knows she has to preserve some of it, but it's so hard. Like, the self-restraint is too much. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
But it's like, ultimately, she is, right, like, a prisoner to the mission.
Yeah. And ultimately, a prisoner to the 12. Yeah. Like, damn. Yeah. Like, this is the reality of her situation. Mm-hmm. But they lavish her. They give her what she wants to keep her subdued to some extent.
I think it's giving her the illusion of freedom.
Mm-hmm. Like a child.
Yeah. And now it's more obvious imprisonment, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not subtle anymore. It's in her face and she doesn't like it.
Yeah. And then she actually moves into the prison, right? Mm-hmm. And the camera does this really strange thing where it tilts as we enter fully. Mm-hmm. And, like, we see a cute puppy who's, like, barking aggressively. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. And
I want to pet him.
And then the camera skews, right? And it feels very surreal. And I feel like as the camera walks through the prison along with Villanelle, I do feel like I'm getting this surreal moment of, like, this is how Villanelle is taking in the prison. Mm-hmm. And it's very jarring and very scary to see.
I agree.
Like, she's not safe at all. Mm-mm. And she's alone, ultimately. She has no friends. She has no allies. Like, she has to fend for herself in an environment that doesn't foster that. You know?
Mm-hmm. Also, imagine how terrifying, because she has been here before, mm-hmm. and to be back.
Mm-hmm. In the fear of being recognized.
Yeah.
While you're on mission.
Or the fear of getting stuck here. Like, what if Constantine doesn't come back for me? And then she gets taken into her room, and...
Her room, her cell? We're like, yeah, she gets taken to her hotel room. Like, I've never been to prison. We're very bad at words sometimes. I'm so sorry.
Sorry. Her cell. She gets taken to her cell. And she asks to see the doctor because she thinks it's going to be that easy.
Yeah, and they just close the door in her face. They're so rude. And then she turns around and she just looks so dejected.
Yeah.
Like, you can see her sinking into herself. And she's like, I need to hide the good parts of me to preserve myself so I can do this mission and be done as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, she looks so defeated and so annoyed.
And so small.
Very small.
Mm-hmm. Then we move into MI6... Right, like the secret MI6 office.
Yeah, and the first thing we have is Eve being like, could it be Oksana?
Which I love.
She's so eager. I love that the first thing on her mind is like, Villanelle? Mm-hmm. Oksana? My girlfriend? Like, mm-hmm. she's so cute.
But so they're talking about Nadia, actually, mm-hmm. Who they learn is the assassin that was with Villanelle in Bletchum, and that she is now in a Russian prison.
Mm-hmm. And this whole time, Eve is talking about Oksana this, Oksana that. Like, she can lead us to Oksana. And Elena stands up and she's like, wait, are we calling Villanelle Oksana now? Like, because she clearly has not brought them all up to speed, which mm-hmm. I think is not very good.
Yeah.
And I think it's really funny because Eve immediately turns around. She's like, it's her real name. She's like, we need to call her by her real name.
But then she also calls her, but like, she kind of goes back and forth, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting, like, thinking about when she called her Oksana versus when she calls her Villanelle.
We can keep track of that, but
We should keep track of that.
We should. I think it's going to be more often that Eve calls Oksana when she's talking about, like, her true self, like, who she really is, versus Villanelle, which I think is a facade or, like, a shell that she puts out, right? Mm-hmm. But I think we should definitely track it and see if that theory aligns or if mm-hmm. something else kind of, like, comes out of it.
Yeah. And then, as we're talking about Nadia, Eve says she might know how to get to Villanelle. And Carolyn says, if this girl is elite to anything, it's to the 12.
Which, once again, their mission focuses are so drastically mm-hmm. different. Carolyn's like, information. Eve's like, my girlfriend. Like, so drastically different.
She's single brain cell gay.
Yeah. She's hyper-focusing with mm-hmm. the one brain cell she's got to run her real hard. You know, like, mm-hmm. she's doing the best she can. But it, ultimately, they decide, like, you know, Carolyn's like, we can make it work. But, like, yeah, like, let's go to Russia. Like, let's interview her. Mm-hmm. Let's have a conversation with Nadia. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny because they ask Elena and Kenny, like, do y'all want to go?
And they don't. They're scared.
They panic. I love it because they're both just, like, mumbling and panicked. And mm-hmm. then it ultimately ends with Elena just being like, no. And Kenny being like, I'm busy. Like, yeah. They're so scared because last time Eve left, Bill ended up dead.
And like, then Frank ended up dead.
Yes, like, not long after. So clearly, Eve going into the field does not always bode well, if you will. You know? I really like when Eve looks at Carolyn, like, I guess it's just us. Mm-hmm. And she holds up her coffee cup, mm-hmm. and she's like, to Moscow.
Yeah, it's really cute. And as a viewer, I feel like I'm so excited because I'm like, Eve and Villanelle are going to see each other. Again, yes. The borderline queer baiting of it all.
The borderline queer baiting of it all, truly.
Yeah.
And then we get to a scene of Nico being moody, smoking a cigarette, in a leather jacket, just looking real gross.
He's very strange. Like, he's wearing a leather jacket and smoking, and then when Eve gets there, he's like, yo.
My God.
Like, and who is he?
Yeah, and he's only answering her with, like, single syllables, right? Like, mm-hmm. and he's, like, oozing anxiety and anger, and I'm just like, bleh. Like, I don't care about Nico. I really don't.
Nico, I don't like Nico at all. It's one of my least favorite characters. But I kind of get it. You know, like, his anxiety of it all, I don't think he addresses it well.
No.
I don't think that he should be with Eve, but I get it, but I also don't like him.
I don't like him either.
But yeah, so he eventually, you know, says what's bothering him. He pulls out the newspaper that has, like, Frank's face on the cover that says, like, MI5 agent murdered or whatever. And he's like, wasn't he at Bill's funeral?
And she's like, listen.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, I don't want to be the boring dick husband type. Which, boy, you already are. You're so boring. You're such a dick. You're already a husband. You're a type. Like, I don't care. Sorry. He's like, I don't want to stand between you and what you want to do with your life, but it is actually my job to stand in the way of something that puts it in danger. First of all, I do not like the fact that he says job. Mm-hmm. If your relationship is a job, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yes, we do believe in putting in work, right? Mm-hmm. Working on that growth, right? But I don't believe in putting in work in such a negative way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's like, doing this as part of my job description as your husband.
Yeah, or you could just say, like, I love you and I'm worried about you and I want to make sure that you're safe no matter what. Like, at no point does he say, I love you. At no point does she say it. Mm-hmm. There's none of that being received, and I don't think that can be construed from their words or their exchange at all.
It feels more like, you're making me have to do this. Yeah. Because I'm obligated, because we signed a contract, because I said I do, and I'm obligated to, like, go through this and do this, you know, instead of saying, like, I'm worried about you, I love you, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I don't like that at all.
And Eve says, no, we're making progress.
And he's like, how many more people have to die before you complete this level? I hate that he says level, like it's a video game, right? Mm. It once again is condescending to her and her job, which we've seen throughout this entire show thus far. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue seeing in this conversation. Mm-hmm.
It's like he doesn't get the value of it, like why this job is important and why people will die and will continue to die until, you know, this, you know, gets resolved or whatever. But at the same time, I don't think Eve really thinks about that either. I don't think she thinks a lot about, like, saving the day, right?
No, not at all. And then she's like, why are you so angry?
And he says, I'm not angry. I'm scared. I don't want to wake up to your face on one of those, and points at the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I do think this is valid, right? Like, he's saying, I'm scared for you. I don't want you to die.
Yeah, and we don't want her to die either.
Yeah. And, like, that's normal for your husband to not want you to die, to not want you to go do something dangerous.
Absolutely. And then Eve is like, just shout at me. Like, get it out. Mm-hmm. Do what you need to do to feel better. Which I feel like isn't healthy either, to be like, whatever you need to do to feel better. I often don't feel better, but I let you feel better. Or, like, let you do what you need to do to get it out. Which, once again, this isn't a healthy exchange in any way.
No, not at all. On both parties.
Yeah, it takes two. I'm telling you, it takes two to ruin a marriage. We cannot blame Eve on all of this. He is a trash person for her.
I don't think we can blame Nico, like, all of it on Nico either.
Yeah, it's on both of them. Will I always blame Nico more? Yes. Is it because I love Eve? Absolutely. Am I biased? You bet your gay ass I am. Like, I don't know. Eve has done nothing wrong. Yes, she has. I can't say that, but okay, I'm getting sidetracked. And then Nico keeps going, right? And he's like, I want you alive at home without scary ladies breaking into our house. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel better, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then she says she will keep breaking in and she will keep hurting people until I catch her. I have to find her. She wants me to find her.
Yes, she's admitting this is a whole chase and I'm in it and I'm with her. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I'm trying to catch her, right? Mm-hmm. But also, this is so gay. This is so gay, man.
Yes. Oh, this is queer 100%. Content. It's very much so, like, admitting, like you said, to this chase, to this relationship.
Yes, this erotic-ass chase. That they have,
right? It's like, it's about me and her, you know? Like,
she wants about me to find her.
It's almost being like, stay out of it. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about us. It's about me and Villanelle.
Yeah, leave me and my, like, affair alone. How dare you, my husband?
Yeah. I do think, though, it's a little messiah complexy.
Yes, definitely.
Right?
I agree.
To be like, no, I have to be the one to save the day. Or, you know, whatever.
Like, or to save her.
To save her, to find her, to catch her, whatever, to stop her. But then he starts throwing some truth, right?
Yes.
And he says, you're not saving the world, honey bunch. Which, yikes. Disgusting ass fucking man. Once again,
fucking condescending asshole.
Piece of shit. He says, you're not saving the world, honey bunch. You're getting off on sniffing out a psycho.
Yes, ma'am.
She is. She is. Yes. Right? And this is the truth.
Sorry, I'm like short. Like, I'm like...
I know, we love it. It's this is true. It's what she's doing. But she doesn't want to be exposed like that, you know?
Yeah, especially from the most boring person in the world. Like, even he sees through her, which is gross.
But she hates it. I think right now, in this point, she hates that about herself. Mm-hmm. She hates that other people can notice this. She hates being called out on it. Mm-hmm. So what does she do?
She fucking slaps him.
She fucking slaps him.
And then she shoves him. And
twice?
Yes, but no. She slaps him, shoves him, right? Mm-hmm. And we're like, right? We like gas clutch our pearls, like, or clenching our butt cheeks, right? And then she really just gets up there and she shoves him a second time. Mm-hmm. Like, the second one, it's not like shove, shove. It's shove, pause. Let me think about what I did. Let me do it again because it felt good. Yeah.
Like,
you know?
It wasn't, like, the first time, it's like an impulse, right? Like a knee-jerk reaction. But then there's a pause. She has enough time to think about what she just did, about what she's going to do next. And she's like, you know what? I'm gonna do it again.
Like, that felt good.
Yeah, and like an extra fuck you.
Yes, that's genuinely what it feels like.
And then he says, you don't want that in your life, whatever that is. And I think he means like this darkness, right? In her. Yeah,
Dark Eve rise.
Dark Eve.
And it's that chaotic energy, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, he's off to the side, and we're, like, left with an Eve who seems like she is delving in somewhere deep that we cannot access yet. Mm-hmm. And that I think she is barely getting to know, really. Mm-hmm. Like, something she's always known is there, but she's accessed it, right?
And I think she's accessing it even more now, out of spite, because she's so angry with Nico. She's like, I'm going to do it even more.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to chase her even harder.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, like, think about her even more, because I can, which I support. Go girl. Like, and then he's out here, like, real submissive. And I think he's used to holding control in this relationship for the most part, but she's been taking more and more of that through this investigation and through the chase. And he turns around.
Because she's feeling empowered, because Villanelle empowers her.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
See, this is real feminist women. What is it? Powerful.
Leave your husband. No.
It's like powerful women, like empower women.
Yes. Right? Oh my goodness.
But also leave your husband. No.
We're not. Okay.
Don't leave your husbands unless that's what you want to do.
Yes.
In which case, we support you fully.
Yes. If that's the healthy position you need to be in.
If that's what you need to do, leave him. If you need a sign, if you were waiting for a sign to leave your husband, this is it, girl.
This is it. Or, sir, leave your husband if you need to.
Or non-binary friend.
Non-binary friend. Okay.
Just leave your husband.
Leave them. Okay, if you need to. Do it. All right, we're off track. And then he's like, it's okay. Let's just get a curry and forget that happened and go home and apologize with tea. How fucking British.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's really bad that he's like, let's forget it ever happened. Like, let's not address it. Let's not talk about it. Let's not try to grow and understand what happened. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to understand you in that, like, chaoticness that you just had. I just want to push it and shove it down and just carry on as normal.
Which I feel the way he says this is I feel like this is kind of how they end most of their fights.
Definitely. Definitely.
So he's like, this is just another one of our fights, you know? Mm-hmm. So let's just bury it deep, you know, under the rug and move on and get some curry and drink some tea.
And then Eve turns around, right? And she's real... And then Eve turns around, right? And she's like, I can't. And the way she says it, the way she turns around, she genuinely looks like she's living her best life. And she's, like, so ready to be like, fuck you with my words this time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what? And she's like, I have a work thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, what kind of work? And it cuts off.
I love it.
Because we know how that conversation's going to end. Not well. But she's still going to go to Moscow.
It's also an extra fuck you to Nico, right?
Oh, yes, it is. We don't fucking care what he has to say or his worries anymore. Mm-hmm. We give him too much screen time anyways.
Yeah. Then we are in Moscow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have Carolyn and Eve, like, in the back of a cab. And Carolyn is, you know, looking for, like, lip balm or whatever, trying to look cute. While Eve is looking solemnly out the window like she's in, like, in her own sad music video.
Yes! Truly, I can, like, hear, like, a really depressing, like, unloved song in the back of my head. I'm like, girl, yes, you're feeling it. You're going through these emotions. You miss your girlfriend. Probably thinking about Nico, but whatever. And then, you know, Carolyn's really funny because I feel like she has a really funny line, too. She's like, whenever I'm in this country, like... Or, like, I feel it in my bones. Like, it wakes me up, essentially. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. But she ultimately is saying, like, I feel alive. I feel most like myself.
And we see that, too.
Yeah, she seems really comfortable. We can see her sliding into a more, like, comfortable and more, like, confident version of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman already exudes confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's impressive that she can just do that.
And then they start talking about the man that they're going to meet, Vladimir.
Mm-hmm.
And Eve is asking, you know, like, how are we going to get to Nadia? Like, how exactly, like, what's her game plan? And Carolyn says, you know, with Vladimir, it's going to be like a tit for tat situation, right? And Eve tries to make a joke and she's like, and when you say tit, you know, kind of like, eh?
And Carolyn's like, it's an expression, meaning I'll give him something in return. And Eve's like, it's just a joke.
And Carolyn's like, what's the joke? She's like, I thought that was a common expression. Like, she's I don't like, understand.
Yeah, she's like, it's very well known.
Yeah.
And Eve is like, ma'am, you are H word, but like, I'll leave you be. Like, it's just a joke. It's so awkward.
And then they get to the hotel.
They check in.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn's very comfortable with her Russian, which I like. Which is, it's cool to see someone else speak a different language other than Villanelle.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how easily Carolyn does this. Kudos to Fiona Shaw. And then... it's really funny because, once again, like, Carolyn's like, okay, I need to get ready. We have 15 minutes. Like, let's go. Like, or 30 minutes. Give me 15. I'll be right back. And Eve is still perplexed, right? Because she's like, you look good. Like, what are you talking about?
I think we got a lot of confused Eve this episode, which, again, I'm not a huge fan of because I just like seeing her, like, at the top of everything and just leading the way.
Yeah, I like when she takes charge of things. And I feel like this time she's very much so sidelined by Carolyn. And I'm not a huge fan.
Which I love Carolyn.
Yeah.
But anyway, as Carolyn goes upstairs to change, she tries to call Nico, but is sent straight to voicemail.
Mm-hmm. And after this point, Eve, you know, she chooses not to leave a voicemail message, but then she also is out here, like, taking off her beanie cap, and her hair's been down at this point, but I feel like as she ruffles her curls out, I feel like she's really trying to say, like, I'm gonna just focus on the chase, I'm gonna focus on, like, Villanelle and pursuing her, and I'm just gonna try to forget about life back at home.
I think that's very accurate. I think, you know, she is wearing it down, right? In the cab, she is wearing it down, but she does have the little beanie on, and I think that's her, you know, she's upset at Nico, she kind of just wants to go do her work thing, but she's still looking out the window really sadly. She's still holding on to this piece of, like, guilt, I think, because of the whole Nico, like, altercation and everything. But then after, she essentially gets sent to voicemail. It doesn't even ring, right? Mm-hmm. I think she's like, I'm just gonna go ahead and fully go into it. Take the beanie off, ruffle my hair, make it look nice and good in case I run into, like, my girlfriend. And just go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, wear it down.
Definitely. Wear it down. I love it. Oh my goodness. And if by In Love plays, as like all this happens and it says, if I, the words I hear mainly over and over are, if I loved you less, which is really sad. I know there's more to the lyrics, but that's the ones that like really stick out the most. I feel like it shows like the solemnness that she's feeling at this moment.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think maybe we should go ahead and take a break. What do you think?
Yes, I need to pee.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Hi, y'all. We just wanted to take a moment to discuss COVID-19 and the escalating number of cases in the United States. In the United States, a disproportionate number of minorities have been hit the hardest by COVID-19 due to systemic racism that prevents access to proper medical care and personal protective equipment. As a community, it is our responsibility to take care of each other. Please stay safe and be aware. Black lives matter. Black trans lives matter. We can all do our part to keep each other safe. Please remember to wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart when possible, wash your hands, and stay safe. We really appreciate all of our listeners, and we want y'all to stay safe too. Happy listening.
And welcome back.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. We are at the bar with Carolyn and Eve.
And they're having a really intense, like, drink.
Yeah.
And they keep describing it as, like, really vicious or whatever. And Eve's like, oh, God, I want 10 of these.
Mm-hmm. And Carolyn is like, personal life, best not to have one.
And Carolyn, you know, adds on, she's like, should have told you that. We can't help what we are. And Eve's like, yes, we can.
Yeah.
And then Carolyn gives this really strange monologue that's really vague. And is essentially like, you just gotta do what you gotta do, man.
Yeah, like, people, like, your friends and family, you're not gonna agree with it, but hey, they die anyway, just do what you gotta do and save the world.
Yeah, I think the speech is really strange, and I think it's meant to provide some comfort, and I think Carolyn genuinely believes that it does.
Yeah.
But I think it does the exact opposite. I think it makes Eve feel very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and she's in a very vulnerable state with her marriage and with the feeling she has towards Villanelle, so it's just real strange.
It's a very strange little speech,
mm-hmm.
and I think Eve comes out more confused
than anything. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's super weird. We won't even like say the whole thing because it's just super vague and super strange.
And you can try to read it, you know, through a queer lens and everything, but at the end of the day, it's just very vague.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest piece for me.
Then Vladimir arrives with a friend, Constantine.
Yeah. And as soon as Constantine arrives, I'm like, oh my goodness. As an audience member, I am shook because I'm not ready to see him.
Yeah, and then the music, like, intensifies, and I'm, like, afraid
and for Eve. And he's like, Constantine. And, like, he introduces himself to Eve, and Eve's like, Eve Pilastri. And I'm like, don't talk to her.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, don't hurt her.
And then Carolyn says, hello, you old ass. And I'm like, oh my God, like, they're friends? Like, what's happening? What's going on?
Like, I got slapped in the face when Constantine arrived, and then I got slapped in the face again when it was, like, Carolyn knows him. And I'm like, oh my God.
Just all these slaps.
Yes. Back to back. I'm not ready.
And then plot happens, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, back and forth. They're talking about something. A frog is mentioned. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we do get a hearty Constantine laugh as they're, like, talking. And Carolyn starts to do, like, the wheel and deal, the dance, if you will, of exchanging information with the Russian operatives. And I really think this is why Carolyn got all like, gussied up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's for them, really. I think we're led to believe it is. I think some straight comments are made to believe that they are. But I think at the end of the day, Carolyn just really enjoys this. I think this is how she, like, finds her joy.
Mm-hmm. She's manipulating them by, like, being really flirty, using her sex appeal, and the fact that they have that she has sexual history with both of them.
Yeah. And also that she has information. And I think to some extent, they enjoy that dance, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Eve, on the other hand, is unaware of the dance. She's like, what?
She's like, what's straight? What? What? My girlfriend? We dance way better than this?
Well,
like,
she just wants to be direct. You know, that's just who she is.
Yeah, she's like, where's Oksana? Do you know where she is? Nadia? How do I get to her? The girl? Yes? Mm-hmm. My girl? Like, she's not here for this.
Like, she's almost here, like, revealing information that Carolyn is, like, using to entice them, right? Like, she's about to say the name of the organization.
And Carolyn shuts her down. She, like, makes her take a sit down, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, no, you're not playing. You don't know how to play yet.
Yeah.
And that sucks, because I'm like, let Eve do what she needs to do.
But, I mean, I get it, though. Like,
she's
out here just revealing everything. It's not going to lead them anywhere. I think Carolyn has a lot of experience, and she's like, kind of sit here and watch. Right, as an audience member, I don't like it. But I don't think it's Carolyn's fault. I think it's the way the episode was written.
I agree. I don't like this. I don't want to observe Eve observing. I want to observe Eve fighting, okay?
Killing a man.
You know, with an axe. But, spoilers. Okay, and then we get to a part, right, where finally Carolyn's like, you know, she's really getting into trying to get an interview with Nadia at the prison. Mm-hmm. And Carolyn says, I want to interview the girl with Eve.
Mm-hmm. And Constantine says, and what is so special about Eve? Which, first of all, how dare you?
I was like, that's very rude, sir. She's very special. Look at her hair. Look at her eyes.
The whole show is named after her, sir.
She's gorgeous. Do you know where you are? Anyways, and this is when Eve pipes up. And I love what she says. I love that she puts out all of this. Because I think to some extent she's bragging a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, another female operative broke into my house and attacked me.
And he's like, what did she want?
And he's like, really? And all of that. And she's like, dinner. And Constantine just laughs. Because he's like, this is so fucking absurd. Are you kidding me?
But I also wonder what he's thinking. Because mm-hmm. I don't think Villanelle probably told him that she
definitely broke into
her house. So she, like, Constantine is like, this was definitely Villanelle. Like, I need to have a conversation with her later.
I think that's why he laughs. If he hadn't have laughed, I would have thought, like, oh, he probably knew before and is trying mm-hmm. to play it off and play it down. But the fact that he laughs, I think, is indicative of the fact that he has been bamboozled by Villanelle with this information. And then Eve keeps going, right? And she's like, I believe Nadia knew this other operative, Oksana. Ooh, and he perks up real quick. Mm-hmm. And then she adds on, and I know Oksana.
Oof, like she's bragging.
Yeah, she's like, I know what she looks like. I know what she smells like, you know? I know what she feels like pressed against my body and taking my dress off. Like, sorry.
This makes Constantine very nervous, right? Because if they're going to go to the prison, there's a chance that Eve could see Villanelle and, like, you know, blow her cover.
Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately Carolyn has so much information that they're withholding and kind of teasing them with it that Vlad relents and he's like, okay, you can have one interview, but Constantine is going with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good for Constantine because he's able to manipulate as much as he wants, but it's mm-hmm. still not good because they're going to the prison where Villanelle is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's great for us, but not for him.
Mm-hmm. And then they leave and Carolyn says, they hate that we know more than they do.
They just hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so delighted. Like, she loves the dance. This is what she gets off on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And E just looks at her perplexed, like, all right. Like, I'm ready to go to bed. I'm tired. We've mm-hmm. been, like, flying,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then they're walking down the hotel, like, hallway. And she turns to Carolyn, like, before they, like, go into their rooms. And she says, I don't like him.
Mm-hmm. Meaning Constantine. And Carolyn at first thinks that she means Vladimir.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, no, like, Constantine, like, I don't like him. And it's just, you know, her intuition, right?
And knowing, like, he's not trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not someone that you can trust to go along in an interview to a prison mm-hmm. with.
I agree.
And then she has another question for Carolyn, which is, are they old friends?
Mm-hmm.
And Carolyn kind of smiles and she's like, no. And then mm-hmm. she leaves into her room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so odd because really, I don't think any of them are mm-hmm. friends.
No.
But I think they're very good at playing this little game of the exchange of information.
Of dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're back at the prison, and we see Villanelle in some sort of line with the guards. Mm-hmm. And she turns to the guard and says, I need to see the doctor. I think you broke my rib.
And the guard's like, good.
Yeah, and she's like, wow, you're such a flirt. Like, Villanelle's just being a little asshole.
Yes.
I think it's probably because she wants to get beaten up so that she gets finally sent to the doctor.
Yeah. And then, like, as she's walking too, then she, like, looks over into the kitchen and she sees Nadia at, like, mm-hmm. a giant stew pot just, like, going at it with her, like, single good arm, you know? And she immediately turns to the guard and she's like, how do I get in there? How do I work in there? And the guard's like, ugh. And then she's like, I can do crazy things with a carrot. Which I believe her.
You think she fucks herself with a carrot?
Okay. Whew. I don't know. I feel like she would fuck other people with a carrot.
Maybe. Maybe?
I don't know.
I feel like a carrot is such a weird thing to use.
I guess.
I would assume... Do you think she, like, peels it beforehand?
I sure hope so, because carrots are, like, wobbly in shape sometimes.
And they're, like, hairy sometimes.
Yeah. This is a weird conversation.
Sorry. Anyway, the guard is like, do you know how to scrub a potato? And she's like, yes. And so she's like, then you know how to scrub a toilet, right?
Yeah, and then Villanelle's like, you just want to see me bent over. And she bends over and, like, wiggles her butt in her, like, direction. And the guard, like, grabs her baton and, like, throws it over her back and keeps her bent over and, like, makes her walk. And she's like, I sure do. And she's, like, forcing her to walk in the direction. And Villanelle's like, I really need to see the doctor.
It's so silly. And then as this is happening, Eve, Carolyn, and Constantine arrive at the prison right as Villanelle is being dragged out. And they literally, like, walk next to each other. Like, they cross paths.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a moment here, and I'm still very perplexed by it personally. But I don't know if Villanelle sees Eve and them or not. Part of me is like, she did.
I don't know.
I don't know. If y'all know, please email us or, like, DM us or at us or whatever you need to do to inform us and, like, give us some evidence because we were perplexed.
Or, like, what do y'all think, you know?
Yeah, like, I really just, I don't know how to read this little scene where she's, like, bent down because she does look up, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like she looks to the left and they're walking on the right side of her in the guard, you know? And there's a moment where she kind of looks up after, but I don't know. It's hard to read. I don't think she really sees them.
I agree.
I think she, notably her head is kept down, and I think that's intentional. But I don't know if it's fully conveyed if she sees them or not.
Yeah.
And I want to know. I want to know what she was feeling. I want to know if her little heart was pounding because Eve was passing by with her great hair, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to know.
I will say, we know that Eve didn't see her, and we know that Constantine did.
Yes, because he turns back and he, like, looks and he's like, my girl, what is she doing? Why is she being dragged somewhere like that?
I feel like he's like, yep, sounds about right.
He's like, oh, it's noon? Yep, she should have pissed off a guard by now.
Yeah.
And then Villanelle gets to the bathrooms, right? And the guard gives her this nasty little scrubby brush and sends her to go, like, sit with a woman who eventually becomes her friend.
I like her. yeah, and it looks like they're cleaning, like, a shower drain. I don't know. There's a lot of hair.
I don't know words.
And then, you know, she makes a friend, right? And she tells her that, like, it's really hard to see the doctor unless you're actually dying.
Because she has cancer,
and she's like, I've only seen the doctor like twice or something.
Yeah.
And Villanelle says that she's there because she stole some hats.
Yeah.
And the friend says that she's there because she's spontaneously violent,
which I think is hilarious because Villanelle just smiles and she's like, we will be friends.
I like it. It's really cute. And then they like touch sticks,
which I think is really sweet. And I'm gonna refer to this friend from now on as the spontaneously violent friend because I feel like that is the only context for who she is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then we finally get into an interview, right? With Eve and Carolyn. And Constantine immediately is like, I'm gonna go sit in the other room and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Which feels very shady. And I think it's because he doesn't want Nadia to recognize him. 100%. And see him.
Yeah.
So he just goes and leaves.
And so it's only Eve, Carolyn, and Nadia. And they start talking and Carolyn starts asking.
Yeah.
And then Carolyn starts offering things to her that Eve knows they can't really offer or don't know if they can offer yet.
Yeah, which Eve does call out as immoral later.
Yeah.
But it's funny because Carolyn asks, who do you work for?
Mm-hmm.
And Nadia refuses to respond. Like, she won't, like, budge. But then Eve starts asking a barrage of questions. And the first one she says is, tell us about Oksana.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a question, it's a statement. It's a demand.
Yeah, it's a demand. And Carolyn looks annoyed almost.
Yeah, she's like, that's not what we're here for.
But
we're here for information.
Eve can't help it, you know?
She's so single, like-minded. She's hyper-focusing.
Her single brain cell.
It's going hard. It's fully powered.
I feel like she and Villanelle share a brain cell. Lord knows Villanelle doesn't got it right now.
She's on feral mode, okay?
Yeah.
That involves no brain cells. That involves, like, pure brainstem instincts, okay? Survival mode. That is where we are at with her. She's hilarious.
You're such a nerd. Anyway, like with the brainstem. Anyway, she's like, tell us about Oksana. Were you friends when you were here together? Did you help her escape? And then Nadia says, it was meant to be me. He was meant to take me. She wanted to meet him to be sure I was safe because she loved me.
Oh, girl. Like,
Nadia, honey, she did not love you.
She used you. 100%. Maybe she had some feelings for you. Probably not much, knowing who she is at this point, and how she literally ran you over twice very quickly.
It's like, so strange because it really is the effect that Villanelle has on these women, on her exes, right? And we kind of see this again mm-hmm. and again. And it's this intoxicating thing where even now she still kind of idolizes her and, like, puts her on a pedestal. Like, she loved me. Like, yes, she tried to kill me later. And she abandoned me at mm-hmm. the prison. But she loved me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, girl.
Oh, no. Be careful. Be very careful. And then they keep talking and she was like, if you want to get to her, you got to get to him, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, who is he or whatever, or who are they? And before she can say anything, Constantine walks in and she immediately shuts up.
Which Eve notices immediately. Mm-hmm. Because it's shady and suspicious as fuck.
Mm-hmm. And she keeps looking back at him like, oh. And he's like shaking his head like, no. Like, you're not going to say anything. You're not going to talk about me. Mm-hmm. You know?
So she says Anna, mm-hmm. right?
And she's like, the reason she was here in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that really piques Eve's interest. But they do call her out. They're like, you said it was him, he. Like, who was it? But she won't budge on that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a viewer, I'm excited because we've heard about Anna for so long. And I'm like, who is she? Are we finally going to get to know?
Yeah.
But again, it feels a little incomplete, kind of like the gun in the glove compartment.
Yeah. There's something not quite right about this.
Well, I just feel like we don't get to know anything about her this episode.
Yeah, which I feel like this would have been good to be like, who was she? And she could have been like explained a little bit or given some context.
But again, it's more of a setup for the next episode.
Yeah, and even to like a couple of scenes down, right? Yeah. To learn who she might have been to Villanelle. One thing I do think is really important to point out is the fact that Nadia does know who Anna is, which mm-hmm. means that Villanelle opened up to Nadia at some point mm-hmm. about Anna.
That's really interesting.
And she seems very closed off about her. So the fact that she did, I feel like, does hint that maybe they did have a deeper relationship. Maybe mm-hmm. not the deepest, mm-hmm. but I do think that they did have some trust, right? Mm-hmm. Villanelle was vulnerable with her at some point in some capacity. And I think
that's fair.
That is really interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Hmm. And then we move to, like, the prison yard, right? And we have Villanelle and her spontaneously violent friend just walking around. And then we see Nadia hobbling.
She's just hobbling, like, I assume after her interview.
Yeah.
And Villanelle turns to the spontaneously violent friend and she's like, do it. And the friend's like, no. And she's like, please, you're my friend now. And she's like, tell them I said you were a big nasty lady, but your fanny smells. And this actually upsets the spontaneously violent friend who, like, decks her.
Yeah. It's such a specific insult, but she's like...
She's like, oh, yeah. She's like...
Yeah. And she's like, come on, you giant ball sack.
It's just so funny. And then she, like, keeps getting the shit beat out of her. And, like, the guards come running, right? And then, like, all the women in, like, the yard, like, are also looking on and everything. And there's this moment where Villanelle's, like, crouched down, right? And we just have, like, a close-up of her face. And it's, like, super bloody. And she's smiling because she's like, yeah, this is gonna work. And she, like, spits blood on the ground. And I'm like, oh, my God.
She looks so feral.
She's so feral. I'm like, look at this damn feral cat just, like, going wild. Like, getting in fights, like, in the street. Like, she's crazy. I love it. Oh, my God.
And then we're back with Constantine and the gang in his car.
More plot happens.
Essentially, Vladimir says that Nadia has to stay in Russia.
Yeah. Yeah. And Constantine looks really smug, which is really annoying. Mm-hmm. And Eve tells him, like, don't be a smug asshole, which he is. And then Carolyn says, like, we just need to find him something to nibble on, which once again feels very sexual, and I don't like it. It's too straight for me.
And then we're back in prison with the prison doctor, who looks very creepy.
Very creepy. I do not trust him to take care of people. What's his bedside manner like? Mm-mm. Creep, creep? I don't like it. But she does have dried blood on her face, and I don't know why, but it makes her look adorable. I'm sorry, I don't know if that's weird, but she looks real cute.
And so he gives her the shiv, right? And tells her where Nadia's cell is, and he's like, get yourself into the hole. which I know you're familiar with, and then Constantine will get you.
Mm-hmm. She looks really annoyed because she's like, do I have to stick this up my butt? And he's like, I'm not going to help you with that. And I'm like, don't let him touch you. Yeah. Like, I'm afraid of him. But I'm like, okay, some progress. She's going to get out of this. We can do this, okay?
Do you think she does shove it up her ass?
I don't know. I don't want to think about that. That looked painful. I don't want to think about it.
Okay. So we're at the hotel bar with Carolyn and Eve, and they're talking about Vladimir. And Eve is kind of just being like, well, we need to find a way to get Nadia, right? She says, he's got to have something we can tug on. And then she pauses. She's like, so to speak. Which is disgusting, and I don't want to think about it.
I don't want to think about it either. I'm not here for the straight content. And then Carolyn talks about, like, Vlad being very agile. And once again, I'm like, ugh.
Yes, essentially says that...
Sorry.
Essentially says that... Your face. Oh my god.
I'm so disgusted.
Pure disgust. She essentially says that she and Vladimir used to fuck, which, you know, we've known. She says that she also used to fuck Constantine, and that she essentially betrayed Vladimir to protect, like, Constantine after he gave her some information, yada yada.
And Eve at this point looks, like, disgusted. Yeah. Because, like us, she's like, I'm too gay for this, ma'am. Doesn't realize she's gay at this point, but yeah. She's like, oh no, I do not like this.
Yeah, and she says, sorry, I don't like your boyfriend, which is Loki kind of slut-shaming to me.
Which is very rude. I don't think we should ever slut-shame anyone.
Yeah.
No, no, ma'am.
Yeah. But then Carolyn says, I'm sorry you don't like your husband.
Which is so rude. Imagine saying that so boldly and thinking that you're on that level with somebody to call them out on that.
Mm-hmm.
And Eve looks so offended.
Yeah.
And I'm offended for her.
Yeah, to be fair, Carolyn has had a few drinks, so she's kind of wild right now.
Yeah, but, like, it's still rude.
Yeah. And Carolyn is like, you know, you can still love him. Like, she says, it was always the ones I liked the least I loved the most. Maybe it was the fact that I loved them made me dislike them so much.
Hmm.
And I think this relates, I think, more to Villanelle than to Nico.
Yeah, because Eve's like, I hate her.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna kill her.
Yeah, like, Eve dislikes Villanelle. But at the same time, she's going to end up loving Villanelle. And I think the fact that she loves Villanelle is gonna make her want to dislike her even more.
Yeah, like, it's this constant, like, back and forth of those emotions and not mm-hmm. knowing what to do with them.
I agree. And then we have another secret phone call with Eve and Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learn a little bit more about Anna. We know that she is the wife of the man that Villanelle killed and castrated, right? Mm-hmm. And then Eve asks Kenny to research everything between Constantine and Carolyn. But she doesn't say Carolyn.
She says your mother. Yeah. And he's like, oh.
Yeah, and she's like, sorry.
Yeah, but she's so direct and she's so business-oriented yeah. that she doesn't really convey the sorry very well.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay.
It's, yeah. Oh, poor Kenny. He's gonna read a lot of sexy emails, I think.
Yes. I think one thing about the way this shot is set up that I really enjoyed is that it's this display case of all those Russian dolls, right? Mm-hmm. And it's what's really cool is there's a lot of them. It's not just, like, one doll separated out. It's multiple, right, mm-hmm. on display. And I think it's symbolic that Eve is part of a network of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Carolyn, who we believe is on one side, and Constantine, who we believe is on one side, they're actually connected, I think shows that these people are all part of each other, right?
Yeah. These organizations, right, are a part of, there's a lot of overlap, and it reminds me of what Villanelle said on their first date, right? Mm-hmm. When she said, if you go high enough, you'll find we work for the same people.
Yeah, and I think I'm really interested to see who else is going to overlap
mm-hmm.
and who else is ultimately going to tie them all together.
Mm.
And who does end up being the big boss of it all.
Oof. Fascinating.
Yeah. All right, well, we marinate on that. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back. So we are back in prison, and Villanelle is in line to get food, ready to stab a girl.
And she's hanging out with, she feels less like a friend and more like a pet, but she the spontaneously violent friend is with her, just poking her.
Yeah, and Villanelle's like, not now, like, we'll play later, you know?
Which I feel like is rude. She really did adopt a pet, which is really sad, because it's the whole person, Villanelle.
Yeah, but she's like, I just adopted this feral, like, little thing.
Yeah, which is rude. Like, take care of her, at least.
Yeah.
You know?
And she ends up, like, dropping the shiv.
Because she gets annoyed with
her. Yeah, and spontaneously violent friend picks it up.
Yeah, because she's also feral.
Yeah.
And she's like, mine now. Mine? Yeah. Like, and Villanelle's like, God damn it. Yeah. And then she gets to the front of the line, and she's like, I need to be real cocky and smooth about, like, when I first get to Nadia. And she, like, full on, like, switches gears and, like, faces her, and she's like, kind of gives her a look, mm-hmm. and Nadia is terrified.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't blame her.
Yeah.
Nadia says, like, niet, right? Which means, like, no.
In Russian.
And Villanelle's like, oh, yes.
And she's real excited. And Nadia's out here, like, throwing bowls with her one good arm. And she's, like, running, like, hobbling away on her little, yeah. like, crutch.
And Villanelle, like, is trying to get the knife back from spontaneously violent friend.
She's like, give it to me!
But she doesn't. So Villanelle decks her, right?
So funny. And then she hops over the counter. And, like, we see spontaneously violent friend just, like, seething. And she, like, decides to go chase after Villanelle.
It's a weird three-person chase, right? And, like, yeah. at one point, Villanelle throws, like, a lettuce head at her.
Which is so funny. And Nadia screaming in Russian, she was like, she's after me. She's trying to kill me. I'm saying she's trying to kill me. Yeah. All these things. And a guard appears.
Yeah, and the guard is confused because she's like, which one? And yeah. Villanelle says that one. And notably, she says that in Russian.
Because she's manipulating, right? Mm-hmm. I think this is really cool because we get to see Villanelle not manipulate just one person or not just like a couple of people along the way, but this whole group of people in this mess hall. Yeah, right?
This whole room of people. And it's really awesome the way she maneuvers it so that the guard gets stabbed, mm-hmm. right? It makes it seem like it was spontaneously violent friend's fault, even though she orchestrated that whole interaction.
Yeah, she, like, swings her around real good.
And then she also ends up, like, stealing back the knife.
Yeah, she does, like, a sleight of the hand, right? Where as the knife is reeling back, she grabs it with her other hand and moves it forward.
Oh, so good.
I'm like, we need a gif of that, y'all, because let me tell you right now, I need to see that every day for, like, a month.
It's so okay? good.
And then Villanelle is, like, screaming at the crowd, right, at people, the onlookers, mm-hmm. she's putting on a show, right?
Oh yeah,
fully feral.
Yeah, she's like, look what she did, you know, like, be careful, she has a knife.
Yeah. And then another guard runs up, right, mm-hmm. and she's like, what happened? And it's really funny because the guard is so tender, like, we've seen them yeah. really violent thus far,
and spontaneously violent friend is like, I did it, like, I know I did it, like, even she believes that she killed the guard.
Yeah. And at that moment we've kind of suspected, but I feel like this really reaffirms that she's not psychologically well.
Yeah.
And maybe it's possibly part of the cancer as well that's eating at her, but, like, there's something else going on there as well. And the guard is really sweet, I think, and I really like that she tries to de-escalate it. She goes, Agnia, which is apparently her name. It's A-G-N-I-Y-A. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we're saying it correctly, so I apologize. And she says, Agnia, do the numbers. And they start counting together. Mm-hmm. And you can see that she's trying to calm down.
Trying to de-escalate.
Yeah.
If only more law enforcement officers mm-hmm. would de-escalate.
Yes. We need to take notes here, everyone. Take notes. De-escalate. But yeah, as they're counting down, Villanelle's watching. And she sees the guard with the keys. So she decides, I'm going to stab her.
Yeah. As, you know, Nadia's, like, hobbling away somewhere.
Yeah, and she's losing her, essentially.
Yeah.
So she stabs the guard, and the guard, like, crumbles to the ground mm-hmm. because she thinks, like, that the other girl has the knife. Because mm-hmm. Villanelle's screaming, she has a knife, be careful! Mm-hmm. But Villanelle out here, yeah. she playing.
And it's wild, like, she looks so feral, right? And she looks really happy, like, she's smiling. Mm-hmm. And I think she's having a great time because I think this is something that she's wanted to do for a while, like, not just now, but probably while she was in prison. Like, she probably hated the guards and just wanted to fucking kill them all.
Yeah, and now she
killed two, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's because she has some level of immunity because, you know, she knows or believes that Constantine is going to save her at the end.
Yeah, so she manipulates her way out. She gets what she wants. She grabs the keys off the guard and she, like, leaves. And the whole prison is starting to shut down, right?
Yeah, there's, like, alarms going and everything.
Yeah. But Villanelle's like, I have a mission. Fuck it. And then we transition to Eve at the Russian bridge, right?
The Russian bridge. Yeah, with
Well, because Vladimir. She describes it, too, as, like, mm-hmm. this is very Russian.
Yeah.
Very bridge.
And she essentially is just trying to convince Vladimir to let Nadia leave Russia with them.
Mm-hmm. And she makes it very personal, which isn't good. And Vlad is, like, not having. He's like, whatever.
Yeah, like, she makes it about the fact that she's obsessed with her, right? And that she's come into her life. And she says, she didn't kill me, she connected with me. Which is very gay.
Yeah, to be like, I need to be able to get to this girl and ultimately Villanelle because mm-hmm. I'm in love. Please let me do this.
I think it's really interesting that she says that she believes that Villanelle wants out of the game.
Yeah.
And that Nadia does as well. I feel like Nadia would, but I think Eve knows that Villanelle does not. Like, she
enjoys it.
She knows for a fact, I think, that Villanelle does not want out.
And yeah, she called bullshit on her.
Yeah. So I feel like she really... The reason she wants to get to Villanelle, like, I feel like this is her new excuse, is, like, it's because I want to save her, but really, it's because, you know,
Messiah-ass complex. Yeah,
again, but really, I think deep down she knows that that's not what Villanelle wants, and that's not what Eve wants to do with her either.
No, she wants to have sex with her, oh, and, like, God. Fall in love, but and run away true. To Alaska, like, whatever, but...
Yeah, and then, you know, she says, like, you know, once we get a lead, like, y'all can have it. Y'all do everything.
She says, I don't give a shit about any of that. Like, the hero crap is what she pretty much calls it.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't care about that. No. Elena cares about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not Eve.
Carolyn cares about that.
Yeah, I think to some extent, yeah.
Yeah, but Eve doesn't. Eve just cares about this one person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's grouping in Nadia to, like, kind of help her case and make her seem less obsessed with this one cute girl.
Yeah, because she says, the girls. I want the girls.
She says, I want the girls. And he's like, why? And she's like, because one of them is a little prick and she's keeping me up at night.
Ma'am, that is gay. Ma'am, that is some queer ass... you just came out. Like, that's that's what happened. To this weird Russian, like, man on a creepy bridge.
On a Russian bridge. But, you know, he doesn't care. He's like, I don't care how you sleep at night. And this is when Eve plays the plutonium card, right? Which is the information that she got from drunk Carolyn.
Yeah, which ultimately sells out Carolyn. Which we're like, that's a dick move, dude. Yeah. That's a dick move.
But she's desperate.
She is, because she wants Villanelle. Oh my goodness. And then we're back in the prison, right?
Yeah.
And it's really cool because there's all these shots and they feel like spy shots, right? Like, through, like, grated, like, floors, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, mesh window thingies or whatever. And it feels like CCTV, which I think is really cool. Because to me, it feels like this is what Eve's going to look back at and try to pick out, like, a blurry Villanelle running. But it's all through gates, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a concealed version of her.
Mm. And then she gets to Nadia's cell, right? But Nadia's not there.
Yeah, and I feel kind of bummed for her because I'm like, there's a lot of build up to this, mm-hmm. but then it kind of deflates. It's like, God, now she has to wait even longer.
Yeah, like, she really just wants to, I think, finish this mission so that she can leave prison because she doesn't like it there.
No. And then we have Eve on the street, right?
Mm-hmm. And she's making another secret phone call with Kenny. Mm-hmm. And she is asking him, you know, to dig deeper to get information between Constantine and Carolyn. And this is when we know that she was bluffing with Vladimir, mm-hmm. right? Like, she doesn't actually have the information.
She doesn't have proof of the exchange. She doesn't have proof,
right? And it's like she pulled a Carolyn. Like, she was promising him something that she didn't actually have secured already.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Carolyn was doing with Nadia.
Which makes her a hypocrite, because she told Carolyn, like, it's immoral to do that. But, like, she went around and did it real quick.
Oh, for sure. And then we're back at prison, and Nadia gets to her cell, and...
She's desperately writing a letter with, like, her nub.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she's, like, writing something down, and she addresses it to Eve Pilastri, which I'm like, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And then Villanelle slides out from under the bed, and she's like, need a hand?
Yeah, I really like that her little hand pokes out, and I like that she says, need a hand, because she's like, what are you trying to write with your stub?
Oh my God, Maddie.
I'm sorry, I can't get over it. It's so funny. Because she's trying her best, but it's real shaky.
Yeah. And then, you know, Villanelle pops out, and she walks towards Nadia, and she puts her hands in her pockets, and I'm like, yes, baby.
I do like that. It does look very nice. And then Nadia immediately is, like, bargaining for her life. She's like, I can get us out of here. And she's like, the British, they're helping me. And Villanelle pauses because she's like, British? Eve?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, why? And Nadia says, I'm going to give them everything. And Villanelle's like, you have something to give them?
Which is very rude, I think. Yeah,
like, what are you going to give them, Constantine?
Yeah.
And she's like, he's working with them. And that confuses her. Kind of makes her back. She's like, did not know that.
Mm-hmm. And then she says, like, you know, she says she's going to help me and, like, she wants to help you too. She says she was asking about you. And Villanelle's like, who? And then she, like, leans forward and she's like, was it an Asian woman with amazing hair?
Oh my goodness. She's like, my girl, was it her?
Nadia nods. Mm-hmm. And Villanelle gets flustered.
She like moves her head and she's like, oh my goodness. She's like, my crush talked about me.
She's like, what did you tell her? You know, like,
oh, like. She's like, what did you tell her? Mm-hmm. And Nadia was like, I told her to speak to Anna. And Villanelle like kind of nods and walks off, like thinking, she's like, okay.
And then Nadia just starts crying, right? Because she knows. She's about to die.
And Villanelle takes her into a hug, which I think is really interesting. That's what she chooses to do with her.
Yeah, it's very tender, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm. Which, once again, I do feel like to some extent she did care about Nadia. I think she served Villanelle in a certain way. And I think she's trying to, like, I think she's saying goodbye to her prison life and never having to come back here. She's saying goodbye to it in the best way that she knows how.
Mm-hmm.
And Nadia asks, are you going to kill me?
Mm-hmm. And she says, mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Nadia asks, like, what are you going to use?
Yeah, like, how? And she's like, this, I guess. And,
you know. Shows her the shiv.
Yeah. And then she kind of turns around and she's like, or maybe we can hang you. And as she's turned, Nadia, like, slips the note that she wrote for Eve. Like, she slips that under the door.
Mm-hmm. But then when she turns back, Villanelle's like, I don't have a lot of time, actually. And so, you know, we know that she kills her. And then we see all the guards doing the rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that they're looking. And when they find her cell empty, they're like, this cell's empty. And they keep running.
Mm-hmm. And then another guard sees, like, the paper that was slid under the door. And he opens the cell.
In, like, the pool of blood.
Yeah. And, like, finds Villanelle, who's, you know, like, hands up, just yelling, like, take me to the hole, right?
Which is so iconic and so funny. Oh my god.
It's really funny. I like that a lot. And she's so, like, happy. She's like, I did it. I done did it. Let's go.
She's like, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's go ahead and
rank that kill.
So on Rank That Kill, we break down a Villanelle kill and discuss her fashion, persona, weapon of choice, flair, and most importantly, the psychopathy of it all.
Ooh.
All right. So let's start with fashion. What did you think?
I don't like this outfit very much. I think what really kills it for me is the bandana, which I feel like ties it all together for you, which is funny.
It does, yes.
I give it a 2 out of 10.
Oh my god, a 2 out of 10?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Oh my goodness.
Of all the Villanelle outfits, you're really going to tell me this one's a great one? Mm-mm.
It's not a great one. It's a good one. I like it. It fulfills a need for me.
Okay.
I think the bandana is like the bow that ties it all together for me. Okay. I think it's cute. I don't know. There's something about it that I like. What I give it a 7.5.
Okay. I disagree, but I respect you and your decisions and your choices.
Thank you for respecting me. Let's go to persona. What do you think about persona?
I give it a 6 out of 10. Okay. I think I'm kind of bummed because she doesn't... I would rank it higher if I could, but I really do think that because she doesn't get to choose her whole, like, cover story of how she got into the prison, because, you know, she's Natalia Popova, who stole hats, right? Yeah. Like, she doesn't get to choose that. It's thrust upon her. That sucks.
And I think that she really enjoys the process of coming up with the persona.
Yeah.
You know, she gets really creative with it, and she has fun.
Yeah.
But you're right. It was just kind of given to her.
But I do feel like she slips into the role of Feral Villanelle. I feel like that she creates, and that is so much fun to watch. I think that makes this episode, like, more fun.
I ranked it pretty low. I didn't like the persona. I gave it a 4.5.
That's fair.
And I think it's not that I don't like the persona. Is I think that I feel like this is just Villanelle in prison. You know? It doesn't, like, the hat thing is only mentioned, like, once. She only mentions it once, and it's kind of just serves as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I also, she doesn't even speak Russian. Right?
Yeah.
Which is obviously like a Villanelle thing, but it's like your persona is like this Russian, I don't know, criminal who stole hats. Like, I didn't see it. I just saw Villanelle in prison, right?
Yeah.
I also, her name is Natalia Popova or whatever. Like, Natalia, right? That's my name.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think I would love that, but she never says it. And I would love to hear Villanelle say my name.
Oh!
Like, it would have been so good. And it didn't happen, and
therefore... That's so upsetting. I'm so sorry.
Therefore, I am bitter. Because it was the opportunity... I need to,
we'll,
like,
write the show and ask them to say that name.
I need to, like, maybe look at some deleted scenes or something, see if she ever says my name. Because
that would be good to know.
I would love that so much. But yeah, because of that, I only give it a 4.5.
That's fair. All right, for Flair?
Flair, I actually... So for Flair, I am including all of these side kills that happen on her way to Nadia.
And the manipulation of the mess hall,
yes,
too.
Yes. All of it is so good.
And using spontaneously violent friends, yes, so good.
Yes, throwing the lettuce head, like, chef's kiss,
right? Decking her in, like, the face and getting her to follow and then blaming that, like, this weird three-way chase and still coming out on top. Amazing.
Yeah, and, like, the alarms are blaring and, like, you see the guards running, trying to, like, figure out what's going on. And Villanelle just walks with so much confidence. Mm-hmm. The fact that nobody stops her because she's just, like, you know, blending in and, like, just going for it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I also really like how impromptu everything, like, she had to think on her feet, right? It was mm-hmm. so good. I give this an 8 out of 10.
I do, too. Yeah. I put a solid 8. I enjoyed it a lot. Okay, weapon of choice.
Weapon of choice.
I give it a 5.
Yeah, I give it a 3. It's weird because it's not her choice of weapon.
Once again, it's not her choice.
So I don't like that. We also don't really get to see her use it on Nadia.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only reason I give it anything at all is because I like when she, like, steals it
back.
Does
the slip of hand.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And when she uses, like, spontaneously violent friend to, like, stab the guard.
That part's cool.
That's cool.
But other than that, I'm not really impressed. It wasn't her choice. We don't really get to see her use it on Nadia. Also, we've seen a knife slash shiv used many a time at this point. So, yeah, I only give it a 3.
That's very fair. Psychopathy. I think the whole mess hall scene is really, really cool. And I think ultimately it shows us how good she is at manipulating people. I think there's also a lot of showmanship to it, right?
Yeah.
Of like, look how good I am at putting on a show and making these people believe what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little actress. She's really good at it, which is why I give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow. I give it a 6 out of 10.
Wow.
I think the whole, like, manipulation of it all, I put more under the flair category.
That's fair.
For this, literally, in my notes, I just wrote, she's feral, 3 exclamation points. She is feral. Like,
she's truly feral.
Prison Villanelle is feral.
I enjoyed a lot.
I think for psychopathy, I feel like I get so much from her when I see her in the actual killing process.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing her stare into her victim's eyes as they die and, like, what that does for her. And I don't like that we don't get to see that this time, you know? So, yeah, I just give it a 6.
That's fair.
What is your overall score?
So, overall, I give this kill a 5.8. Not my favorite, but not horrible. I also give this
a 5.8.
It's above, I think, the mole kill for me, weirdly enough.
Mine is not above the mole kill. Mine is at the bottom of my bye-bye board.
Fascinating.
All right. Again, we will update our bye-bye boards and let us know how you would rank this kill.
Yes, please do. We want to know. All right, next we have Eve on the phone, right, with Kenny. He seems really worried because he has, in fact, found something.
Yeah, he says he found some letters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, right, like, this is just set up for the next episode and feels unresolved and incomplete. But this episode, I feel like, is just a big setup episode.
Mm-hmm.
Very plot heavy.
And then there's a scene where Eve is just chilling on her bed with her hair down and she's resting. Mm-hmm. And I do sense that she's getting closer to Villanelle, and mm-hmm. that's really exciting. But I'm also bummed because it's the end of the episode, and I'm like, why didn't they get to see each other? Mm-hmm. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
I wish they had seen each other.
And I feel like I said, the way this episode was set up, especially at the beginning, is to make you believe that they will see each other.
Mm-hmm. They get so close. I feel like I'm being baited, and I hate it.
And then we're in the hole, right? And Villanelle is, like, happy to be there because she's waiting to be picked up by Constantine. He's like, yeah. She's like, I did it. I done did it. I'm ready.
Yeah, there's almost, like, a small moment of, like, happiness that flashes across her face. And then she's calling for the doctor, right? And he does show up. And he's, like, brought her some pills to help her calm down.
Yeah, and she's like, where is he? Like, Constantine is coming for me, right?
Mm-hmm. And he's like, Constantine who?
Which is terrifying.
Yeah.
And then he kind of just shuts her in. And she's just banging on the door, like, let me out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad. Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
Because I'm like, she's trapped here. Like, we've seen her be so degraded in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that she'll be let out and free. Like, she's done so much to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's stuck.
And it's so sad because we saw her at the beginning of the episode. She was so small and nervous and scared. And what she was scared of, like, one of her fears was that Constantine wasn't going to come back for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then this fear came true, right? And now, like, she is stuck there. And that's terrifying. And it's really sad to see her.
And I'm, like, very upset because, like, why isn't he there?
Yeah. At this episode, I'm very angry at Constantine because he's not very nice to Eve. He you know, is playing kind of both sides, and I'm like, I don't trust you. And then he doesn't go back for Villanelle. So I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, it's very rude.
Yeah. He gets redeemed later, but right now I'm like,
you poop. Yeah. You know?
And yeah, that's pretty much the episode. What are your overall impressions?
I think this episode is very plot heavy. I also think it's very straight, specifically with Carolyn, which really bums me out because I'm here for the queer content, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, same. I agree. It's very straight. There's not enough Villeneuve.
Definitely.
There's not enough Eve, I feel. I mean, she's there. She gets her scenes.
Yeah, but she's sidelined.
Yeah, and that feels weird to me, and I just like to see Eve in the action, you know? I also feel like I said, it's a lot of setup, which makes me not like this episode as much, but makes me excited for the ones to come, which is good.
Yes. I think I'm thinking a lot more toward, like, episode 8, you know, the finale, which is awesome, and I really enjoy it. I think this is one of the better finales we have, and I really am excited to see where this goes. Yeah. But it was kind of a drag to watch it, because I do feel like I missed out on a lot of queer content.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, the first time I watched it, it was a good episode because I didn't know all, like, the plot twists of, like, Constantine being involved and, like, all these things and, like, the plot of it all. But watching it, I don't know, for, like, the fifth time, I'm like, I know the plot.
Yeah.
I'm just here for the queerness now, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking for my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say I do love Prison Villanelle, though.
Yeah. Same. I love Feral Villanelle. She's hilarious. I think she really makes this episode more fun. I like Vulnerable Villanelle, I think. Yeah. I think that's also what we get with Feral Villanelle.
I agree.
But yeah. It's overall not my favorite, but a necessary step in the right direction.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's the episode.
We done did it.
We're done did it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Wear It Down, the Queer Killing Eve podcast. We post new episodes every Sunday at noon Central Time. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave us a review so we can continue growing.
You can follow us on social media on Tumblr, Twitter, and Instagram at WearDownPod. Email us if you have any questions or comments, or if you just want to say hi at WearDownPod@gmail.com.
Bye!
Bye!